Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs, and we're proud to say with the launch of the sporting season, we're coming live to you from the offices of The Social Scene. Visit socialscene.me to see how they are bringing people to the new world of social life. Sorry for that little stumbling at the end. Our next guest, and before I announce our next guest, I want to just say welcome to my co-host today, Peter Meyerson from the law firm of Cohn, Rasnick, Meyerson, and Plout. Welcome, Peter.
Thanks, Jeff. It's always great to be here.
Good.
Even if it is about 4 degrees in the middle of June.
Well, I want to say our next guest, a returning guest, a talented guy, Larry Casey from Davis Mom D'Augustine, a firm you're very well familiar with.
I graduated from it twice, Jeff.
Twice,
it's a great
true.
Firm. Great firm.
Are we going to be talking about, what is it, office politics today?
Basically, but not office politics as in politics in the office, but political dialogue in the office and what some do's and don'ts and problems and things that can happen.
Well, let's get into it.
Okay, so... First, I think a misconception is that there's a freedom of speech that applies to private employers, so that employees in a private office or a private company can stand up and tout political issues and that they have a right to freedom of speech.
You mean they can't?
That's not the case.
Oh, come on.
No, nope. Freedom of speech impacts government intrusion, not private companies. So private companies can limit, and in a lot of respects should limit political speech. Because it can cause a lot of problems in the office.
For example, you can be talking about a candidate, their age, their positions on immigration, their positions on religious and social issues, which can then start a commentary and discussion about race, about religion, about abortion, which could then be used by an employee to say, hey, there's harassment going on in the office, there's discrimination going on in the office. With regard to what, you know, people are talking about, or my employer is trying to impact my views or limit my expression of my views with regard to those subjects.
I mean, that's a great point, but how do you stop it?
The best way to stop it is to have a policy that prohibits generally solicitation. So you can't solicit for a political campaign, you can't solicit for religious companies or affiliations or organizations. You can't solicit for charitable organizations because you need to treat it uniformly.
It's not work-related.
It's not work-related. And the big issue, you're right, is that there is one caveat, which I'll get to in a minute, but it is not work-related, and that's what you want to try to do is keep peace in the workplace.
It's your personal interests.
Exactly. And you want to keep things going smoothly.
Black line for me.
Yes. You start to put politics in the office, people sometimes get very emotional, very strict in their positions, and it can create a lot of disruption also. But I think the bigger issue, that is an issue, but the other issue is you don't want to open, an employer doesn't want to open themselves up to claims of discrimination or harassment. Now, one caveat to the limitation is if it deals with work-related conditions under the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Act, that they, you cannot limit discussion among employees with regard to employment-related issues on working conditions, wages, anything related to work-related. So there's a fine line there when you're putting limitations out there. You have to be more restrictive.
Okay, so mechanically, how do you think you do this? How do you accomplish this within an organization?
So first would be to set out a policy and make sure employees are aware of it.
So a written policy.
A written policy.
And even better in the personnel manual, correct?
Correct. And have them sign for the manual.
Sign for the manual,
yep.
Right.
Good. So you put it in the policy and make sure it's distributed and people sign for it. You emphasize together with the, hey, we're not going to allow solicitation and we're not going to allow political discussion. Also have an emphasis on the discrimination, that we don't tolerate discrimination, we don't tolerate harassment, we don't tolerate retaliation. So they're combined together. And then enforcing it uniformly with everybody. If an instance comes up, you look at the instance, you do the investigation. If there's been a problem, somebody's violated the policy, you call them out on it, take appropriate action. Regardless of whether the person you're dealing with is of one particular religious characteristic, regardless of whether it's somebody of a different race, regardless of whether they're talking about soliciting for a charitable organization versus for a political campaign, versus a religious organization. So then that way you don't get yourself in trouble, or best you can not get yourself in trouble.
So when I come in the office in the morning and I say to my assistant, who's my wife,
that's a problem already, right?
No, actually it's not a problem. We've got that relationship squared away. But when I come in and I say, did you see what Trump said this morning, or did you see what happened to Hillary, you know, last night, that's not a good thing to do.
Well, and others hear it as well.
And others hear it. Right. I mean, clearly, if I close the door and I'm talking to my wife.
You're in a fishbowl in your office. Yeah, we all are.
Right, we all are. I mean, that's really the point I'm trying to get at.
Yeah. I think the hard thing is to try to draw lines. So you're better off having no discussion about it than any discussion about it. The description you just gave, it depends what you were saying. Did you see what happened to Hillary or what happened to Trump? But if they said something about immigration, for instance, right? You could have somebody of a racial minority.
Who we should build a wall. Right. He was just saying, did you see it? He didn't make an opinion.
Right. That could start discussion about whether a wall is appropriate, whether people of certain races should be kept out, Muslims, right? Religious affiliations, all of that, which could then, if you've got some Muslim employees in your office, or even somebody who is tolerant of a Muslim or of that affiliation, has no problem with it, they could raise an issue and say, hey, there's some racial discrimination, religious discrimination going on in the office here, that my employer, which I guess in your case would be your wife, is expressing.
Oh, I like him.
Is expressing.
He's
their
a Davis mom. You know, he's got to be like.
I wasn't expecting that one, but you're right.
Yeah, that's what I hear. So then you got an employer expressing a certain opinion, which an employee could say, "I feel like you're imposing that on me, and you're restricting my, you know, creating a harassing environment where I work."
I mean, what you're really raising is an issue that is. It's something you need to think about.
Yep.
And it's something you need to put in your employment policies and your personnel manual and all those kinds of good things.
Correct. Yeah. And then put the other hat on. So put the hat on from the employee, because I represent a lot of employees. So from an employee standpoint, you can impact your environment by keeping your eyes open to these things that are occurring and saying, hey, this is not appropriate. This should not be done. You should limit this. Or not limit this, depending on the situation. I'm talking about, for instance, I want to distribute a newsletter. And in the newsletter, it says something about workers' rights. Trump's in favor of workers' rights and minimum wage. Okay? Can you stop me from distributing
that? I think I missed that article.
No. You're probably right. But can I distribute that? Well, I can distribute it during non-work time and non-work-related areas. And if an employer tried to prohibit that, I'd say, hey, you're violating the National Labor Relations Act. Whereas if I want to distribute a newsletter that just says, I'm for Trump, without a connection to a work-related issue, then you as the employer could say, I'm not going to allow you to distribute that, whether it's during non-work-related time in non-work-related areas, out in the parking lot or anything like that.
So as the employer, you can prohibit them even on non-working hours, you can prohibit them from engaging in certain kinds of that kind of speech?
Not in, when you say non-working hours, if you are
they're
at
in the
home,
park, okay.
Okay, if you're at home, if you're on my premises.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
You're now off your shift, you could stand outside and talk to your co-employees about things related to union, concerted activity, or you could
back to the NLRB.
Back to the NLRB. Thing.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
As far as the political stuff, since it's your premises, you could still say, hey, that's a no-go. I don't want you hanging around talking. I don't want you hanging around out in my parking lot or in my lobby soliciting your employees to contribute to one particular candidate or another, that type of thing.
What if they call from home? I mean, can you prohibit them? You know, I'm at home and I'm an employee and I decide I'm going to talk to my 10 coworkers, but I'm not going to do it on company time or on company premises.
Okay.
Is that prohibited?
It would not be prohibited from you as being the employee. You're at home and you're calling people, not at the office. But one other, you raise a good point, is what the employer should also have and emphasize is the policy that says, our phones, our computers, are for business-related purposes primarily, and should not be used for the types of things that we were discussing shouldn't happen in the office. So if you are an employee and are calling in to your coworkers to solicit them while they're on the job, that, again, you could restrict to say, no, you're here, you're supposed to be working, not talking about politics, not talking about charitable organizations, those types of things.
You know, interesting. I'm one of these guys who thinks we've moved far too heavily to, you know, politically correct. But I support that law 100%. And I'm thinking about every employer I used to have, which was a long time ago. They never, ever talked to me about politics, sex, gender, ethnicity. Well, one maybe ethnicity on the work site. They only talked to me about work.
Right.
And it made the relationship much easier. Yeah. And when you look at it that way, it does. It makes the relationship. Work is hard enough on its own, just being good. Because most people aren't good. I hate to say that. I don't know. Got an opinion. So if you really want to be good, you don't want to get distracted on things that aren't even related to work. And I think that's a good law.
Yep. No, and I agree. I think if you make the work environment as conducive to being productive and focused on work, the much better you're off for both the employee and the employer.
Well, that's sort of a business conclusion. But, I mean, I think what's valuable about this, you know, session this morning is to really alert employers to the need to really be careful about their, you know, their brochures and what the rules are for employees to kind of encourage that positive work environment.
Mm-hmm. And
I just think Peter liked the topic because now he has grounds to fire his wife.
Does he have the authority?
Well, that's
no, he doesn't have the authority.
That's I don't have the authority, but that would be before she quit.
Larry, that's a great topic and one which we could always explore further because especially in family businesses, families don't always understand the proper rules of running a business because they bring family rules and family rules tend to overlap or dominant over professional rules. And I think it's a very good topic. So I appreciate you being on. If somebody was interested in finding you other than on our websites and our YouTube pages at Davis Mom, how would they find you?
You can go on the Davis Mom website, which is davismom.com. You could always email me at lkc@davismom.com.
You know, I have discovered with radio entrepreneurs that I love lawyers. They come into my office, they inform me, and I never get a bill for it afterwards. So I want to thank you for coming, and you're welcome to come again.
I'll be happy to change the practice and send you a bill if you want.
Let me get back to you about that okay. One. Again, my name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm here with Peter Morrison, and we've been talking with Lawrence Casey. And let's see if I can do it right this time. We've been coming to you live from the offices of The Social Scene. Visit socialscene.me to see how they are bringing people together. One event at a time, truly a revolutionary social way to deal with your life. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.